What up, Whiskey Ginger fans? Welcome back to the show. If this is your first time joining us, I always say, tell a friend, recommend us. Keep the Whisk Ginge train rolling through your town. Tell some people, man, recommend the show. Spread the love online so we can keep doing this during the pandy to keep things light and airy and happy. Not touring right now. You can see me here. You can see me on Bad Friends. You can see extra content for Whiskey Ginger on the Patreon. Go to AndrewSantino.com. You can check out the Patreon where I do solo Cheeto chats, all sorts of fun stuff. And also, we got a bunch of new merch. You want to keep someone happy during this time? Send them a shirt. Go to AndrewSantinoStore.com where we got a hat, we got shirts, we got a hoodie, we got a rocks glass. We're going to be putting up a bunch of new stuff as time goes on. I'm happy to work with dope artists that make great stuff. So go to AndrewSantinoStore.com. Sorry, go to AndrewSantinoStore.com to check out the merch. Go to AndrewSantino.com for all the other information that you might need to know. Enough rambling from me. Let's go to the episode.
In here, we pour whisk.
You're that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy and ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey, $75 for the horse.
Gingers are hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Whiskey Ginger. My guest today is one of my favorite people on earth. I say that for all my guests, but I mean it once again today. Is Mr. Brad Garrett. Brad, thank you for being here.
How are you, Andrew? How are you?
I'm good. I had a bad round of golf this morning, so I'm feeling a little depressed about myself.
What would you shoot? What's a bad round to a guy like you?
Around 80 was bad.
Oh, come on. For
that's
real?
Bad. Yeah, that's
so
bad.
So you're a player.
I'm okay. I'm not bad. Yes, I blew up a little bit. I didn't enjoy it. The front was fine and the back was not good. I ran into your buddy Ray Romano on the course. And I shouldn't say buddy because I don't know. You could hate his guts. I have no idea.
I do. No, I love Ray. Ray and I are quite close. I played a lot of golf with him. I stopped years ago. I've never broken 100 in my life. I had lessons. I had coaches. I really didn't care. I'm horrible in any athletics, but I loved golf, and we would play all the time. And he was like, why don't you go to a range? And I go, look, you're at the range 6 days a week,
yeah,
and you're shooting 88. I never go, and I'm around 111. If you can't break 100 after, and I'm saying 15, 20 years of playing, but the back used to give me problems, but I do miss. And I saw him recently, let's go out a little. So I may play a little.
Let's go together.
He has one of the best stories. You know that Tahoe charity thing they do every year? I'm yes. Sure you, have you done it?
No, but I know about it.
Yeah. It's a big thing for Ray, and Ray's played it. It's, you know, it's like the big time athletes and some celebrities and whatever.
Sure.
And he took me once, and, the worst player before me was Charles Barkley. And Ray's like, hey, look, you're not as bad as him. You'll be fine. And, after the first round, not bad. I have Charles by 2 strokes.
Okay.
This is not bad. And Charles is busted. And then the second day, I implode. You know, I'm doing bullshit for the gallery as opposed to just trying to not, you know. And the second day after 9 holes, I'm right around 68.
On the front.
Your face.
On the front. Ah.
68 on the front.
Yeah.
And I 7-putt the 9th hole. Okay. And
what? How? That's almost impossible.
I know. I know. And I get
sorry.
All that. And I get all that. I know the, you know, and yeah. I go, and they go to Ray, and it's, how do you, you know, and they said, how do you take a 12? I think I took a 12 after I 7, but it was a par 4.
Right.
Okay, and I count everything. You know, I don't kick the ball. No, I count everything.
Right.
And they ask Ray, and it was NBC Sports, and they go, how did your buddy take a 12? And he goes, oh, he missed the putt for 11. That was really is that, and I ended up losing to Barkley. But
oh man,
I was wearing a Ping hat, you know, that they gave you in the swag bag.
Sure.
And after nine holes, one of the guys from NBC Sports, he said, "Can you do me?" Because they went out live. They said, "Can you do me a favor?" They said, "Ping, you know, is one of our big sponsors." And I know. I said, "No, I'm wearing the hat." And they went, "They want you to take it off."
They would prefer it if you removed the hat.
Yeah.
It was you're not a golfer. You should get maybe tennis.
I adore the game, and it's so admirable. But anyway,
not for you.
Answer for something you really didn't even ask.
Yeah, I think that's the whole interview. I don't think we're gonna be able to do anything else. Okay. I think that's it. No, Brad, no. For reference, for people that don't know, Brad and I met doing a show called I'm Dying Up Here on Showtime. I had the privilege of working with you. You're an incredible actor, a great
dude. So are you, man. You're amazing.
Well, that's not really, true. Really it's not were. True.
I mean, you, boy, very impressive.
Well, I thank you. I deny it, but I thank you. And people don't know how generous of a guy you are. I don't want to spread rumors, but Brad gave everyone a Ferrari when he showed up, which I thought was just what a cool thing to do.
Nice.
The whole cast. I mean, I just, some people get small gifts.
Yeah. You got the yellow one, right? The Fly Yellow.
Yellow. Yeah. That was mine. Yeah. And I crashed it. I'm not going to lie. I wrecked it away.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I've done that.
Yeah, that's fine. Have you wrecked a Ferrari before?
I once, on a test drive, I burnt out the clutch
on a test drive.
Went on a test drive, cost you
$6,400. Wait a minute.
Burned it out. Right.
What year was it? What year was the Ferrari?
2000. It was when the Modena came out.
Yeah.
Some people call it Modena. I call it Modena. Right. It's when that came out, 2002.
I was going to say it's right around the early 2000s when that came out.
Yeah.
So stick shift cars, Ferraris waned away from that now. They don't do stick anymore. I mean, you have to order it.
Stick, same. As you can see,
yes.
I love it. I mean, I'll pay $6,400 for a clutch, but it was unbelievable. I will never forget, it had the glass back and, the salesman's with me. He's like, are you good with this? I said, yeah, I grew up driving the clutch. He said, okay, they're a little different. And the smoke started filling in the back. And he goes, dude, and it became a little bit of this, and I was like, relax. I gave him one of those.
I know what I'm doing, pal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And test drove it. And I said, look, if I'm going to write a check for $6,400, I might as well, lease it.
Right.
Made a lot of mistakes with cars, a lot of mistakes. That's kind of, I stopped a lot of addictions and I picked up other ones.
That's
like
fine.
Car collecting and things I don't fucking know anything about because, you're obsessive compulsive and a bit of an addict. You pick up other things. So I've had to learn that the hard way, but I was so embarrassed. And it was right on Wilshire Boulevard. Where they have the Ferrari, and I was very, very embarrassed.
I'm sorry to laugh, but I get it. Do you remember? So I've had a couple of cars that were stick, and I still adore stick. And
me too.
We talked a little bit of cars because I love cars. I can't afford your habit, but I do
I can't anymore. Don't worry.
Well, okay, we're even. But I think, did you remember when you who taught you how to drive stick?
My dad. My first car was a 72 Pinto runabout.
Wow, a runabout. I've never even heard of a runabout.
Well, listen, they were, and my dad, it was my dad's car. He gave it to me when I turned 16. It was a 72.
Wow.
And he goes, there's a controversy about going in reverse, but none of it's been confirmed. So stay away from parallel parking. I remember him telling me that. My dad was an incredible driver. He was a dude from the Bronx, fearless, heart of gold. And I remember, man, he was on Sunset Boulevard. My dad was a great dude and really wonderful and bipolar. And we were driving on Sunset Boulevard in the Pinto. It was a stick. And this Lotus cuts him off. And I'm like, your typical Jewish kid. I'm like, let it go.
Yeah.
right? I don't, yeah. Why mix it up? You know, you're a ginger, so I'm sure you would have been, fuck this. Right? Of course.
Yep.
And I'm dad, it's okay. He goes, no, that was inconsiderate.
He's right.
And we're two giant men. He was 6'5". In a Pinto, we're doing like 40. We're top-ended at 40 on Sunset. He caught that Lotus, and it was a little bit of a, he was an incredible driver. So he taught me, and I love a stick, and nowadays it's tough to get a stick.
Yeah,
it's
you have to
let a salesman let you test drive a stick.
Right. That's smart. Test driving a Ferrari is tough. You know you're going to look. Does anybody test drive a Ferrari without the intention on buying it? I feel like you're going to buy it if you test it. Right.
I think they have to know you a little bit, I think, as far as a car person. But yeah. I was there a couple months ago. I shouldn't have been, just looking. And I ran into Lovitz, who's a real car guy.
Yeah.
And it was so funny. Just
was he
watching.
Picking up a Ferrari?
He was looking. He's a car guy.
Yeah. Wild.
He was looking. I know he has a few cars, but it was fun. We were both standing in the Ferrari place going, God, so hard to be out of work. As we're standing there.
In a Ferrari dealership. Yeah. Yeah. I learned how to drive stick on a 69 Corvette Stingray.
Oh, gosh.
And that was the hardest thing I ever had to learn, because I had stick cars after that. And it was my buddy's dad's car, and I was so scared to screw it up. I was like so nervous and scared about it, because he was precious with it. But he took us in a church parking lot and was teaching us how to drive stick. And that's the clutch was so hard. And I was 15 at the time.
And dad let you do that. He trusted you.
Yeah.
To,
yeah, wow, he did. Yeah. Well, he was kind of he didn't give a shit. I mean, he was just a fun dude who he had a bunch of cars and he had a lot of money. And I think for him, it was fun to just, it was cool to show off to the neighborhood.
Where did you grow up? Where was this?
In Chicago. Well, I grew up in Chicago. And then by the time I got to high school, then I was in the western suburbs of Chicago.
Okay.
So I was in the city till my mother remarried. Then we moved out to the western suburbs. So I was living at the western suburbs at the time.
Okay.
We were in a church parking lot, and he taught, and he was like, you just got to slam it with my little skinny, you know, pretzel leg. And I slammed it as hard as I could. And I twisted my ankle. But I couldn't let him know, right? Like I was not going to be like, oh, no way.
Yeah, right.
So I twisted my ankle and I was just like holding in all of it as I was doing. And the clutch was, if you know about like old vets, they're so stiff. I mean, they were so tough to drive compared to today. You know, when guys get stick today, if you don't know, you don't know. It's butter today. It doesn't even feel like you're doing
it's
anything.
It's butter.
It's a joke. Yeah. But back then, it was a lot
of room for mistakes on today.
This was like a crank. I was like cranking it every day. I mean, you know, it was like machine operated.
Yeah.
And I twisted my ankle and bit my
what
lip.
What was the car again?
69 Stingray, Corvette Stingray. Yeah, 69.
Beauty.
Yeah. Big, huge wheel hubs, you know. Like, it was a beautiful, bright red. It was a beautiful car, man. Yeah. And so that was my, I think that was my foray into liking cars, honestly, because my dad, we never had nice cars. We had a Buick Park Avenue. That was my dad. We had a LeSabre and a Park Avenue.
Okay.
Top end stuff, baby.
But big. It's like driving a couch.
Yeah, it's a boat. It's a boat on wheels.
It's amazing. Yeah, I love it. The Buicks.
So he didn't. I got into cars on my own because of my friends' dads who were big car collectors, and
sure.
Then I started to get into it. Now that I'm getting to a place when I can actually kind of have fun with them. You know, it's nice to be able to afford. How many cars do you have, Brad? Be real with me.
I really
just say it.
I got seven.
That's nice.
But I really when I built the club in Vegas, you know, my business manager was like, you got to get rid of the warehouse. You got to get. See, I don't know what I'm doing with cars. You know, I mean, I have trouble. I can't change a plug. I can't everything.
Right.
You know. Leno is like, you know, yeah, just read the manual. You know, I've tried to learn. So I get fucked every avenue. You know, I can't change the oil. So it's like I buy them. I don't buy them right. I buy them quick. And I end up, you know, so when I built the club, he goes, you know, this is a real shot you're taking in a business, you got to get rid of some of the toys. So I narrowed it down, and I may be doing more of that depending when the vaccine's coming out.
I know it's just wild right now, man. Your comedy club. I came and saw you while I was doing, I don't know what I was doing, maybe Kimmel's club, but I came and said hi to you and saw you, and it was so much fun to watch you in your club. Do you guys have one? Not to harp on this because we've talked about it ad nauseum, but. Sure. You know when you might have the club come back? When are you guys going to start putting acts in there?
You know, there's no entertainment anywhere now in Vegas. And the MGM is just, you know, they want to do it right. And they have half the properties on the strip. The rumor is now possibly September. Wow. But they're going to wait for the governor to give the green light. And, you know, I get it. It makes sense. I mean, you know. Have you been working any rooms? I know there's some open in the country.
No.
It's got to be crazy to do it, right?
I just think I assessed the situation and I was like, I just don't think it's worth it on multitude of levels, right? Prior to this, we had sold out this tour. I had almost sold out the entire tour. I was so excited, man. I was so elated to go do it and to finally like see fans and connect with people that I haven't seen for over a year on the road or 2 years in certain cities. And when I broke it down, I just don't think it was worth both the financial commitment, the health commitment, the risk. I don't want to be the guy that brings people into a room and then I get shit for it. I'm like, no, that's why should the performer be the guy? Because it would fall on us. I mean, when I stopped my run in Chicago in March, I was supposed to have a show there. I was home with my family. Yeah. And, you know, the city said, you can perform. We are advising it has to be under 250 people. Well, we had the room, Talia Hall, is way bigger than that. And so I was like, well, why did they say yes then? You know what I mean? They like left it up to us to ruin ourselves. So I was like, I'm good. That was kind of my key.
That was smart.
Yeah.
That was smart. Yeah. It's when we were going to open, when they thought we would, they said you're going to have to be at 50% capacity with the distancing. And, you know, we only see 250, right? So at the end of the day, it just makes sense. And they, you know, and then wearing the masks, you know, I hardly hear laughs when I'm on stage anyway. Putting the mask over them, I don't have it.
That is not true. You know, I think what happens is
such a hack.
Well, also in the beginning of your show, you spit on the audience, which I don't think helps. And it's probably not good for the pandemic.
Well, it's not spitting. It's spraying. It's spraying because I have two teeth.
Oh.
And so it's a lot of, it's spraying, but it isn't spitting. You know,
okay, sure. You call it what you want to call it, but it's very interesting to watch. No, I'm sad to hear it because, you know, and we were trying to get me out at least to try to play your club, by this year. Cause we had talked about it last year what is Vegas? Have you been back to Vegas? What does it look like? Are people there? Are people on the strip?
I you know what? We closed it March 13th and I haven't been back.
Wild.
And I got, you know, a lot of friends that are dealers and work the casinos and people, food and beverage. And they thought by opening the casinos and part of the restaurants, but I don't think with the numbers going where they're going, I think people are more concerned than they thought they would be. And rightfully so.
Yeah.
You know, they got my buddy's a craps dealer and, you know, he's got the full thing and the helmet and the, and the shield and then the mask under the shield. And it's, you know, I know Vegas isn't going to want to have to close again. So they're doing it in small increments and at least trying to get some people out. But the pools are open, I'm hearing, which...
Really?
Yeah, the pools are open. But again, huge distancing from the pools. And, before COVID, the things you can catch in a Vegas pool, COVID's probably not even up there.
It's not even close.
What I'm saying?
Well, do you feel like maybe you and I should take a trip to Vegas and do a little pool show and we should do a show in a pool? Maybe?
I would, I ain't following you, but I would certainly open for you.
Okay.
And I think we should get a cabana.
Yes.
And I'm not taking my shirt off either.
Yes, you are.
Okay. You know, yes, I'm the guy, I swim in my t-shirt. You know,
no, you don't.
I do. I got a third nipple and an odd, like not really a dorsal fin. but I have a growth.
It's a hump.
Right around that actually goes down to Area 51. It's kind of like, I don't want to say a sailfish, but it's more of a, you know, I got things on me.
Do you have scoliosis, Brad? Is this?
I don't. Okay. I don't. But I, you know, I would welcome it at this point in my life.
Sure, sure.
You know, living in this thing, you know, I'm starting to like, it's been a great run. The world is looking really fucking scary. Yeah. And I'm just like, it's been great. How long can I milk Star Search?
Yeah.
You know, it's time for me to, you know, go away somewhere, learn to fly fish.
Right.
Just, you know, and Ray will fly over in his G5 and wave.
Say hi. Yeah.
And just, you know.
We'll get you on Hollywood Squares. We'll get you on one of those.
I'll tell you, I'm open. I'm open to doing it. I really wanted to do a Hollywood Squares, like an R-rated version.
Yeah, that's smart.
For like Netflix, that would be great. I'm trying to bring back Make Me Laugh. I think that was before your time.
I know what it is, though. Yeah.
But it was a great show. And to bring out comics and, you know, I'm looking for something fun to do from the comedy club.
Yeah.
You know, thinking of when it reopens to maybe do some stuff out of there as well.
I got that Hollywood Squares R-rated would be, that's a fucking brilliant idea. I hope you don't care that thousands of people are going to hear you say that and steal your idea.
Listen, it's, please have fun with it. You'd be a great host, actually.
I would love to do that. That's something, honestly, I said the other night, I was watching, Alfonso Ribeiro is hosting America's Funniest Home Videos now, you know?
Is he? Okay. The guy from Fresh Prince, right?
Fresh Prince. Yes. Yeah. Carlton. And
sure. You knew the name.
Yeah. Carlton. Yeah, baby. Right. The room was empty and he's performing during COVID times to an empty room. And at first I thought, that is fucking miserable to watch this guy. Like, he's like hamming it up. He's got it. It's his job to like sell these kooky videos. But then when I kept watching it, I realized how it's a perfect gig. You don't, like, there is no audience to pretend to look at and do the thing with. You just ham it up for the camera on a hosting gig like that, throw it to the clips, and then go home. And I thought, that would be my good night moon. That would be my swan song, is doing the hosting show.
Sure.
I would love that. I would love to host something like that at the end of it all. Right now, I want to do a little bit more TV work. Not much.
You should, bro.
Just
you
a little.
Now, why do you say not much? You're very gifted. Why not?
Because I think it's tough. It's tough to get on something. I'm on a show now that I like. It's this FX show called Dave. It's fun. We're going to do another season.
I've heard great stuff about it.
It's fun.
How is it?
It's good. The only one problem is the main character is Jewish, and I know you're not a fan.
So, oh, God.
Yeah. Sorry.
Get out?
Yeah, no, it's hard.
I mean, that show has a lot of buzz.
Yeah, no, it's doing well. We're going to get another season. Well, we got another season. We're going to do it. Who knows? I mean, they said November, but I think it'll be next year. But
why are you negative about it, Andrew?
No, not the show itself. I just mean TV, finding something good is hard, and finding something that can last, as you know, is it's a crapshoot. So
very tough.
It's emotional. And to me, the only control I've ever had is stand-up in my career in stand-up or podcasting this.
Sure.
There is no pressure that next year they're going to take it away. They can't take away stand-up from you.
Oh, they've taken mine away.
Well, and that's honestly, we voted. Brad, I voted. I voted. Yeah. And I wanted you out.
All right. And again, you know, that you have that right. Did you mail in or did you stand in line?
No, I wanted to make sure my vote was physically counted. I walked in. I punched it in. It was the old punch card. Brad, they said, who do you not want to see on stage anymore? It's Brad Garrett. I mean, it was only you. I don't think I voted anybody else.
Of course. I do understand what you're saying, though. You know, when we start out as stand-ups, we're not just control freaks, but there's a reason we are, because you know, we live or die by it. We're our own writer, director, producer, sometimes our own audience, you know, so it's...
Right.
When you get into a collaborative thing, you get a little, it's difficult to get on something. And then it's who's going to, you know, are people going to watch it? That's there's just so much TV. But I actually, it's on my list. Dave is on my list when I'm almost done with 90 Day Fiance.
And so good.
So good. I know. I read for that, but.
You didn't get it?
Nah, they thought it was too Semitic.
But so. you've had like 30 mail order brides. You should be right up there.
First of all, it's four. Okay. And I got to tell you, you know, I don't know the muffins are ready. I don't know if you heard the cuckoo. The cuckoo clock.
Yeah.
It's so good. My future bride. You know, we've been engaged for a long, long time. I've been with Izzy for 12 years, and she bought me this gorgeous. I love clocks, you know, because it's I don't have time. I mean,
right.
No, it's soon. But she got me this gorgeous cuckoo clock. I've always wanted a cuckoo clock, you know, when I was young, and a lot of things I didn't get, Andrew, when I was.
You seem very deprived. I mean, the cuckoo clock seems like an obtainable thing for a child to get as a gift. I don't. What did you get as gifts? Sticks? Rocks?
I'll tell you what I did. I got the clock with the cat that had the eyes.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was a black, yeah, that. And I wanted one forever because I couldn't have a pet growing up. My mom was allergic to fur, but she had 5 minks. Which was weird, you know. She had anyway. Yeah, I know you're not big into the Jews. I would explain how that. I know you're not.
No, that is not, Brad. That is not true. I am very big into them. I like them very much. I just don't want anyone near me like that. Not in my vicinity, pal. You know what's so funny? This will get isolated. This clip will get isolated. Brad Garrett Santino hates Jews, and it'll just go, that'll be the thing.
Yeah. And who's a more perfect person to help you get there but me?
Well, you can plead the fifth. They went after Ellen, and then they quoted you recently talking about Ellen, and they made it sound like it was like Brad Garrett versus Ellen. How did this come about?
Well,
it's wild. It's wild because I had just texted you. Literally, I had talked to you.
Yeah.
And then as if the universe was just like talking to me, I texted you in moment, like a day later, I had seen this thing about Ellen and all this shit. And then you.
Yeah. You know, I really didn't think it would, I have so few followers. I didn't think anyone would see it. To be really honest, I felt like my neighbor would go.
Right.
But I don't want to, and I know you'll get this. I said what I had to say. It's not, I don't want to make it a thing.
Yeah.
Because it's not anything that she's not already dealing with. That, I mean, there's no one I've spoken to that's been in the business for more than, you know, a short while that isn't familiar with this, which is what my tweet said. And, you know, sometimes you chirp up for the little folks, you know, and
totally. And I think, you're in the right. I'm not trying to dig at you. I think it's funny.
No. And I don't feel that way. I just don't want it because I haven't spoken about it and people want comments and they want it to become a big thing. And it's not a vendetta. It's nothing like that.
Right.
It's just something that's, you know, out there and like I said, common knowledge. And if I didn't have a lot of associates and friends very involved in that environment, that, you know, I would have... So I chirped up, and sometimes you got to do this. I do believe if it was a male talk show host, he would have been gone years ago.
They would have killed him.
Yeah.
You know, stoned him in the streets.
Yeah. So sometimes but you know, she'll be fine and it'll all work out the way it should. And, you know, I'm going back to MySpace. That's where I used to put a lot of my stuff out, and I never had problems. I would go to all the Tip Toppers mixers.
Yes.
I don't know if you know about the Tip Toppers. How tall are you? We would love for you to join.
I'm only 6'1".
Ah, you got to be 6'5" to be in the Tip Toppers. Women have to be 9 feet.
Really?
So,
who leads the Tip Toppers? Who's like the organizer?
Circus people, usually people that the bearded lady ran it for 6 years. You can only do, and then it was the mutant from Ventura.
Oh,
one of my first stand-up gigs, because you know how my monologues go.
Yes,
I was hired by the Tip Toppers Club. I had never heard of it. You know, I was like 6 feet and 13, no ability of any kind, and. When I started doing stand-up, you know, they called me and they were like, "Aah!" And I said, "I'll be there. I would love to." And it was a mixer, and literally I felt petite. It was incredible. Giant people. And to this day, a lot of them are my lab experiments. Are my friends. A lot of them are my friends. But it was the Tip Toppers Club.
That's wild. So you felt small at 6'5"?
I'm 6'8". Yeah. I sent you the bio. Okay, Andrew.
Can I tell you something? You know what's the meaning about that? You know I can't read. And that's even more, that's more rude of you than it is of anything else. Not only did you send me, but he sent me a 13-page bio and a 10-point font knowing that I'm illiterate. And I knew that was you taking a shot at me. It was just rude.
That's a 13-pager.
Yes.
In here, we pour whiskey.
This episode of Whiskey Ginger is brought to you by Blue Chew. Guys, let's talk about the sex. A lot of people are a little uncomfortable talking about their sex life, their drive, their libido. It's hard. It's not easy. Look, I've been blessed. The Red Rocket is blessed, but that doesn't mean everyone is, all right? Some people need a little extra boost. The caboose needs another engine, you know? Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, and there's no shame in that game, baby. Everybody loves when their partner can go again and again and again. Might as well fine-tune your basement. Juice yourself up. Get yourself some extra oomph. Some more push, right? Blue Chew, it's made in the USA. It's prescribed online by licensed physicians. You don't got to go to a doctor and wait in line. If you're embarrassed about this stuff, you shouldn't be, but you also don't have to go anywhere. Now you can do it online. It's cheaper than pharmacy-bought stuff. They prepare it, ship it right to your front door. Your neighbors won't know. It's in a discreet package that says, this is not Blue Chew. No, of course not. It's easy. There's no awkwardness, and you don't need to leave your house. If you're looking for that extra push, if you're looking for a little help in the libido region because you're a little embarrassed about it, which you shouldn't be, then go get some Blue Chew and fix it, solve it, make your partner happy. Right now, we got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com. Get your first shipment for free when you use this promo code Whiskey. Pay $5 for shipping. Again, that's Blue Chew, like the color blue, BlueChew.com. Promo code is Whiskey. Try it out for free. What do you got to lose? The Whisk Ginge is also brought to you by DHM Detox. Hey, man, a lot of us like to drink, myself included. Like to have a couple of soda pops here and there, now and then, every single chance I get. And I don't like hangovers. As you get older, you get hangovers. DHM Detox is the solution. It's a vitamin for people who like to drink alcohol. All right? Be responsible. Take control. You can have it while you're drinking, before you're drinking. It's wonderful. There's a misconception. People think, oh, this next day feeling like shit is because of dehydration. It's not true. It's a buildup of alcohol's byproduct, which is toxic in your system. You need vitamins to cleanse yourself. DHM Detox uses science to help boost your natural response to alcohol, help break down all those toxins that get in your blood. Two capsules. First couple of drinks, it goes to work. You can take them while you're drinking, too. It's phenomenal. The next morning, you're going to feel so much better. How important is your next day? It's huge. You got a life to live. You want to have some drinks during the pandy, but you got to get up and you got to fulfill yourself and fill your day with good stuff. You can't be sleeping and drinking Gatorade all day in bed. That's not the way to do it. Just grab some DHM Detox. Help you figure out that hangover, man. Easy. It's an easy fix. It's also a risk-free purchase. If you're not satisfied by taking the product, email them and they'll literally give you your money back. So what do you want to know? It's a no-brainer. Try it at the very least. You got nothing to lose. We got you 20% off your first order. Head over to dhmdetox.com/whiskey. Use the promo code whiskey at the checkout. That's dhmdetox.com/whiskey. If you got any questions, let them know on Instagram.
Ginger. I like gingers.
I just always thought it was so funny that they're, you know, tall people, you know, bless us. You know, some of it, it's...
Not all of you, but some of you. You know what I mean?
I don't have to get into it, but I couldn't believe we had our own club. You know, and you walk in the room and you're like, I don't want to be around any of it. It's like twins that have their own clubs,
right?
You know, and things like that. You were a Siamese twin, weren't you at one time?
I was a Siamese twin.
Conjoined, I believe, early on.
Well, I was conjoined. I dejoined, and I ate my brother. I ate my brother. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is the only reason why I'm over 6 feet. You know, we were slotted to be 5'6" apiece, and
were you?
Yeah, and I said no chance. So I ate my brother, and I'm 6'1" now.
You ate your brother.
Yep, ate him alive. He was alive. I ate him alive. That's why I am what I am now.
That's all right, man. How is the podcast going? You know, I'm thinking of doing
really,
one.
It's going really good. You're doing a great job and everything. Let me look at the meter online. Let me look right now. And it says.
Yeah. Well, now it's not going to be good.
Well, no, people are loving it. They're actually upvoting this right now. They're clicking on. This is great. Let me read the comments. This is going great. Brad is cool. Hey, Brad is hot. This is all the same guy.
Right.
This is all the same guy. All right. Well. But we've got them. We've got them in there. No, it's you're I think you should. You
I
have
didn't
a
get it out, you know, because I thought of doing one like about mental health and stuff like that. Because you know, I got a lot of circus music up here.
You do.
I was thinking about, but I just, you know, I started to film a couple, and I really dig it. But it's like, there's so many, and I know yours has great traction.
Yeah.
What do? You just throw it out there, and you,
like, you know. We have a dedicated fan base that likes the show, that keeps coming back, that spreads it around. And then we put it up there and we promote it. We cross promote it amongst other platforms to see like what grabs and who, you know, who's interested in the guests that I have. I like to think I pick very good guests, except for some weeks, present company included.
I'm sorry.
It's fine. I'm going to have a couple lapses. People say, that's what they say in the pod world. They say, you're going to have a couple of duds. And this week is definitely a dud. There's no doubt about it. But
I know, and I'm listen. Don't think I don't feel it on this end. I mean, all right.
Can I tell you something? I've always wanted to be. I've always wanted to have enough money to have an office where I have a lot of black framed photos next to each other. I love that.
You like, can have this office.
I can't.
Whatever you got.
Oh, I can't.
Everything's priced to move. You have no idea.
Can I'm I buy some
for the clutch?
What about the clock? Can I buy? What if I buy the cuckoo clock?
The cuckoo clock you can have. It's like I said, made in Germany. So every hour they give my people a 10-minute head start. So when you hear the boop boop, that's when you just take everything you'd load up for a fire season, and you just split. But I love old black and white photography. These aren't pictures of me. I'm not ready. I don't do that.
That's in your master bedroom. Your master bedroom has photos of you everywhere.
Yes, life size, actually. Life size with the small wiener included. But
Brad, you were gonna ask me, I cut you off.
Well, let me ask you, why don't you cut your picture a little bit? Now you see how it's like, what's going on? What is this? A return vent on your left? What is behind where are you now?
Well, the audience isn't gonna be able to see that because we're doing it on Zoom instead of in the studio. So what they see is gonna be a much smaller version than what you see. And that's why my genitals are out for you right now, because they're not gonna see that. This is just for the Zoom. That's for the Zoom calls. That's all that is. Oh, no, I'm in a
so they'll cut you here, I'm hoping.
They're gonna cut it's just gonna be just my face. This is all they're gonna see.
Why?
Because that's all they need to see, you know? They don't need to see anything else. They don't need to know that I'm not fully clothed.
That had to cost you a couple dollars. I mean,
this was great. When we're in studio and we do the wide shot, the fans can see the full sign. This was made by a buddy who's incredibly talented. This is super, super heavy. He hand carved this out of oak, a protected historic oak. I had them cut it down illegally, and I said shave whiskey ginger in there, and they said, sir, that's a $30,000 fine. And I threw money at the local arbor.
What do you care? There's enough breeze. That's a beautiful thing.
I've been doing
a podcast. I'm gonna get a wood sign. By that.
I don't know if you're there yet. I don't know if you're a wood sign.
I don't feel
ready.
I'm there. You know, I ramble, as you're noticing.
Yes,
I really am not a good listener. So I was just going to call it Let Me Talk with Brad. Yeah, something like,
do it by yourself.
Or what's that smell? But that's hard to do in wood.
Probably. Well, it's also hard to communicate smells over you know, earwaves. It's tough to hear smell. Unless you're, what is that, cinescope, whatever that's called, you know, where you taste colors and you hear smells and all that
Remember
shit.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Do you have
anything unusual like that? What's the one thing that Brad Garrett has that nobody knows, that you've got a weird little like trick, or are you good at something that no one knows? Do you have a little talent that we should know about?
No, I have. Actually, I have two.
Come on.
I have.
If you say hemorrhoids.
No, everyone knows that. I have two little people living in my basement.
Really?
Yeah.
What are their names?
Stephen and Fletch. But I'll tell you what about them. They're good workers. They're good people. You know, I pay them in jelly beans and bourbon. So it isn't like they're not happy.
What are they making? What are they producing for you?
Actually, I started a small bakery here.
Oh.
In the house. The wife cooks, bakes really well. So we need a couple people around just to, I don't want to say knead the dough, but just kind of roll around in it.
Sure.
And when you do it with hands or a roller, you don't get the yeast settling.
That works.
Trevor and Fletch go, I really don't have anything that's not for sale.
What have you been doing during the pandemic to keep yourself from losing your mind? Have you done something?
Oh, so this isn't like I've lost my fucking mind. What do you think? I just told you I had little people in my basement.
In Southern California, it's legal to have little people in your house.
That's true. Actually, I've been, I love the alone time. I'm not I'm a little bit of a hermit. So that hasn't been too rough. My family doesn't care if I get COVID. So everyone's coming and going.
Right.
But I've just been really just kind of laying low and just, I've been doing a lot of driving. I'll tell you what I did do. I learned how to replace a couple light bulbs in one of my cars. I replaced the light in the glove box.
Nice.
And one of the tasers on the rear. And I've been doing that. I hate to read.
Hate it.
Was doing the puzzles for a couple, 3 weeks. The wife tried to get me to watercoloring a little bit because I'm known for my dexterity and small touch.
Yeah.
So I tried that, but I miss more is the restaurants. You know, I'm a bit of a foodie.
Yeah.
And I miss the restaurants and some of the, you know, the last month I've visited a couple people in the masks and the social distancing. But I'm like, you know, I don't want to get, I'm not a germaphobe, but I'm like, where am I going to go that's really going to be worth it?
Yeah. Been tough. Yeah, that's been the argument.
I don't think we know what it is. I don't think anyone knows what it is. I think it's frightening how the side effects of after you have it. You know, I know people who have gotten it. I know people that now have it. I know folks that lost relatives. And it's like everyone is different when they have it or feels different or not the same after. And I'm talking young people and I don't know if anyone knows what this thing is, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think we're better off, just sitting it out. You know what I mean? It's just, I think it's going to figure itself out at some point and we're going to get some relief from it. And you know, you are someone that I've listened to online. You beat Trump to it. You said drink bleach far before he did. That was a Brad Garrett suggestion. You said, drink bleach. It's going to clean it right out of you. I remember that. You tweeted it.
Well, I got a little trouble in Area 51. I got a little problem with the dumper. And I always have. I've tried bleach.
Yeah.
There was a time I would SOS pads. I don't know if that's before your time.
No, we still have them.
You still got them? The steel wool. I would just right around...
Right around the edge.
Just to keep it. Just I don't want to say the taint, but I call it the dead zone.
The dead zone. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think this wacko is gonna leave. I think he's gonna have to be removed when he loses.
I think what's gonna happen. This is my prediction. I've said this before. I'll say it again. I think the asteroid's coming for us and it's going to, I'm ready. I'm ready for it to hit us and let's end all this shit right now. We'd had a good run. We tried.
Well, that's what I was saying earlier.
We tried.
Yeah. That's what I was saying earlier.
We tried to save the turtles. We got rid of straws and now, the straws are back and the turtles
are doing a lot more coke than they used to.
Yeah, yeah, it's insane.
The straws are back.
We're ruining the environment. The whales are blind. All the whales are blind. The bees are gay. I mean, it's over. We've done all the damage that we were going to do. That's it. Yeah. We did it all.
Do you really believe that?
I think.
What do you really think?
I think Mother Nature is going to reset itself on us. I think we'd be very bold. I think it's a very bold assumption that we're such special beings that we deserve to live long, that I've talked about this on stage in a joke where this used to be frozen for millions of years. One time it rained on Earth for 10,000 years. So what makes us think that we're, that this isn't going to end early or clip us in a different way? I really believe that. I think we're very bold to think that it, nothing tragic is going to happen at once while we're on this rock. I think it probably might. There's a better chance that it will than it won't, in my opinion.
Well, your show sounds really funny. Jeez.
And you know what?
See comedy on the sign when you walked in, right?
Well, the end of it, at the end of it,
I say, you're right.
Well, the end of it, at the end of the joke, can I finish the joke? Because at the end of the joke, I do say, and the biggest problem with all this, who did this to the environment? Whose fault is this? The Jews. And that's that. Right. It
Yay.
Kills. Yay.
Finally.
It kills. It kills.
Right. So funny and accurate.
See?
That's so hysterical, man.
No, it just, it's, who knows?
I know I can't afford you, but you got it really. If things, look, I'll tell you what I'll do. Work the club.
Because yep.
you don't need money.
No.
Work the club, and I'll make you a sign that says Whiskey Ginger, but it'll be on both sides.
Oh.
So regardless of where the audience is, or and it can turn.
Okay.
It can turn.
Okay. You know what, Brad? You sold me.
Just think about it, man. You would be wonderful there. But that's an interesting point. Now, very quickly, because I have a couple callers I want to get on.
Okay.
But very quickly. When it rained 10,000 days again, yeah. is this a Discovery Channel thing? Where's the 10,000 days?
Ancient aliens.
I thought it was 40.
It was ancient aliens taught me that 10,000 days they approximated it rained one time on Earth. 10,000.
And they told you this when they brought you on the mothership.
I was halfway through a joint, and I remember vividly, they said 10,000 days, years.
Yeah.
Months. Brad, yeah. I know history. All right.
I was going to say.
You want me to name the presidents? You want me to knock it out? Washington, Van Buren, Jackson, Cleveland, Clinton, Bush, Trump.
Okay. I got worried for a minute.
Yeah. I know my facts. Brad, yep. I want to ask you, and you can say niet, which is no in Russian. Okay. He's already saying no. It's, this is, of course, Whiskey Ginger. We usually have a drink on it or regale stories of old. You got sober how many years ago?
I got sober 23 years ago.
Because the reason I ask is because...
Sure. I'll talk about any of it.
Just today on Twitter, I saw Richard Lewis had announced this was his 26th year sober date. Yeah. Do you
One
guys
my,
have
heroes.
Any connection? Yeah, do you guys have any... is
we
that a
do.
Bonding moment for you?
We do. When we've talked about addiction a lot. When I was starting out, he was, you know, an amazing influence. I didn't have anywhere near the talent, so I would just go watch him at a club, and then I would go put my head in the oven and drink. But he got sober a few years before me, and was always very open and vocal about it, and. You know, one of the great things about Richie is he's happy to talk about it. He's not preachy. You know, he's not judgmental about it. I kind of got clean my own way. AA is amazing. The program is obviously it works. It's incredible.
Yeah.
But I just stopped. I did a ton of therapy. I did a ton of therapy before. I did a lot after. I'm one of those guys that, you know, I'm in group therapy alone right now, which is very, it's, you know, I get a lot of time in.
Yeah.
But I just went, when I had to stop, I just had to stop. You know, I had an incredible constitution of, by the time I felt it, I was in Bogota. You know what I mean? I was like one of those guys, and a very, very happy drunk, and a big weed guy, weed. And you know, my brother would say, why don't you just light the fucking bag on fire and just shove it in your mouth? I mean, you know, it was like, people were like amazed. I had no off switch. I would go from, this is a beautiful evening to, being in a coma,
right.
You know, I was Ubering, in the 80s. People didn't know what Uber was. I was Ubering in the 80s.
You were just getting in people's cars? Is that what you were saying?
I was just getting in people's cars and went, home! And they're going, I don't know you. And then that's when the big Jew hands would come around from the headless. But back to Richard. He's he's amazing. You know, and he's a legend. When I was on Till Death, I a show that no one saw a few years ago.
I saw it, Brad, and I loved it.
You're the guy. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talk about worried about doing television. It was so funny. We really thought, Jolie and I would talk about it, and she played my wife, and she's really, really funny and outspoken and just honest and a real broad. And I call her that, so I don't feel that's, you know.
Well, she's that's like, what they are. We call them what they are, Brad.
Right, of course. So much fun. But we really thought, you know, our ratings were so low that we really thought that they, like, there was maybe a year, like the last year, that they forgot we were on. We literally said, it was like, and because shit was getting canceled left and right that was higher rated. And we're like, I'm telling you, they don't know we're here, you know? And then one night we had a showing, and those were the days, you know, you'd get the, well, they still do it, but it's calibrated differently or calculated. I don't think it's calibrated. See, again, Washington, Thurman, Munson.
Go Grover. Okay, Grover Cleveland and Grover from Sesame Street. All, they were consecutive. Clinton.
Bush Clinton, which I love.
Yeah.
We aired one night and it was an original airing, and we got like a 0.05.
Holy shit.
Okay. So not 0.5.
Yeah.
0.05. And I'm like, this, you know, I would call and get the overnights. Why? I mean, they should have gone, please don't call. You know, I mean, something. So I go, man, that's got to be him. The phone rings. At that time, it was, you know, the head of comedy for Fox. Very, very nice guy. He's now at Applebee's. And he said, listen, Brad, you know, the numbers have been tumbling. I went, no, I know. And he said, last night you got a 0.05. And, you know, we're going to, you know, that's, and I go, well, how many households is that? I said, I'm just, and he went, I got to tell you, I'd have to find out. He didn't even know. He didn't even know what a 0.05 was. And, you know, very, very, you know, he was a guy who was head of comedy that I think was an accountant at one time. Yeah, you know how it works.
Yeah. I used to be a car salesman. Now he's an executive at the biggest comedy network.
Yeah, exactly. And he goes, so, you know, we're going to pull it. And I said, all right. I said, listen, thank you for the opportunity. You know, they were all, it was Sony. It was Fox. They were awesome to work with. Very supportive. They tried everything. And then people weren't buying it. It's part of what we do. So he goes, you know, out of our respect to you and the show, anything, any idea, you know, before we call it a day, you know? And I said, you know, I've been thinking. I said, air two more episodes and I just try it. And I guarantee you, I can get you to a zero. Okay. And it was like silent.
It didn't
last. He went, Why would you want to do that? And I said, no, we're at a 0.05. I said, any big shot can jump up to a 0.6 or a 0.09. But imagine to say we're at zero. That no one is watching. I said, that's going to go on.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks. You know, it doesn't even like good one or it was so.
That's what happens, though. You get involved in comedy and you realize oftentimes, not all the time, but sure. Oftentimes people that run comedy, whatever, companies or production companies, whatever, that they have no sensibility of comedy. And it's really scary because you think, well, people that perform comedy don't want to do those jobs.
Right.
So who has those jobs? It's the weirdest thing. You're like, I don't know who, because anybody that had a really good, anybody has a good comedy, you know, a good grasp on it, they would want to do it or be involved in it more. So when a lot of times you meet these people, not all the time, but a lot of times you meet them and you're like, there's no wonder that this is falling to pieces. This guy doesn't get even the slightest comedy. Like,
right.
No
and
wonder.
I would question that because it's never meant. I mean, hire a guy that wrote comedy that
for years. Yeah.
A little, or a guy who's directed comedy or how about an actor who has a track record of doing some, it's the same thing with the drama department. There right. are so many unemployed people that would want an executive job that could kill it, who 20 years ago really knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
Really put out some great products, some great, you know, knows the difference if you're going to get an opinion, if one person's going to hold that mallet over your head as to what, have it be someone that's been in the trenches.
Right. I mean, that makes the most sense to me. I feel like that's, I guess, going back to what we talked about before, full circle, as we say in the business.
Yeah.
I think that's my trouble with television, or my scare is like, I love this show that I'm on. I hope it lasts for a long time, but I'm not a dummy. I know how TV works and you never know what could happen and you never know what lasts and what goes. And I think there's so many variables in presenting comedy on television, which is why new media, i.e. this, or sketches right. or online shows, it's just they've taken off because there's less fingers, you know, trying to get, that's what makes it so difficult to make something great. You know, like you've been lucky that you've had great shit on TV.
I've been lucky. There's no question.
It's super
and it was
rare.
A different era. You know, it was yeah. was a different. Now on your show, because it's Netflix, right?
It's Hulu. It's FX and Hulu.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So, and those people are kind of, I mean, FX and I mean, they're doing some amazing television.
Oh my God. Right? Yeah, they
amazing.
Really are.
I get the feeling they kind of let you do your thing. They let the creatives and the yeah. showrunners. Here's the keys, lock up at night. We trust. Is it more? It's got to be more of that than the network thing.
By far.
Yeah,
it's because FX has always been that way. And I think Landgraf yeah. gets all this credit for.
He's amazing.
Yeah, and truly deserves it of just letting. Once you pick good people, like anything else, micromanaging yes. doesn't do you any good. Once That's you've right. picked people that are good at the thing, why would you keep bugging them with your viewpoint when you paid them or you paid them the money to do the thing? Let them go do the thing. I mean, like, well, it's very strange when you get hired for a job and then someone micromanages you. You're like, well, then why the fuck did you want me? You could have gotten anybody to do this.
Could have gotten me.
Right.
You know, that's
well,
what's sad.
You know what they say to me sometimes as a threat? They go, "You're not careful, Santino. We'll just get Brad Garrett to replace you." And
right.
It's there. It is. There's your cab
okay.
is here. Yeah.
All right. Listen, I got to get on the train, but this has been. So when they
Brad.
Say get Brad Garrett to you, you probably go, do it. You fucking do it.
Do it. Then, do it. Well, because I know
then,
they
then
won't.
I know it was just to scare you because yeah. I don't get the call because I would do it. Yeah,
I know you would.
plug Dave because I want people to – I have to tell you, people in the industry are saying, you got to watch this show.
Yeah, yeah. It's
just,
great.
It has to make you feel great.
It does. It does. But it's also – it came on the heels of starting the pandemic. So I was kind of like – of course, another thing that, you know, it's champagne problems. But when we shot I'm Dying Up Here, I did two seasons in the course of 3.5 years. I mean, it was a yeah. huge chunk of time to do two seasons of a television show.
That's tough.
And this thing's going to be the same thing. I feel like it's going to be another, it's a long time before we get to shoot again. And that's, it's just hard sometimes. So
sure.
it's a,
sure.
it's, but for the most part, I am
high
happy
class
about
problems,
it.
As you just said, high class problems.
High class problems.
Would you consider therapy, Andrew? You
no.
seem to be very, no. Have you
no.
ever had it?
No, I have. You know, I have had therapy. In fact, I'll tell you. The best moment I ever had in therapy was
when they validated.
What's that?
when they validated your parking?
No, they don't. No, they don't. I have to park on the street and I walk, but I leave myself 15 minutes on each end.
Sure.
The gentleman that gave me therapy, I didn't really enjoy his vibe from the jump.
And sure.
He yawned in the middle of me talking about my father's addiction. And,
really?
That's therapy to me. I'm like, maybe it's not for me. I don't know. I've tried a bunch of different ways. You know what my therapy was, Brad? The stage. Honestly, I miss that. The best way I could get stuff out and feel better was talking it out with my old lady, the old bag, as I call her.
Right.
Or going and trying out new shit on stage. Like that to me helps a ton.
Okay. Yeah. See, if I had an act, it would probably be cathartic for me.
You don't.
But it's not. I'm spitting on people. I won't wear. Yeah. That's great. You're blessed to have it. You're an amazing stand-up. I'm not kissing your ass because I'm already on the show. And I can't wait to be back. But you got so much going for you, man. And you got chops. You're a wonderful actor. And you know, there's some brilliant stand-ups out there that can't make that leap. So be patient. Be good to yourself.
I'm trying. Do you see, this is therapy for me right now, honestly, more than anything.
Of course. Listen, do you think I'm doing this for any other reason? Oh, I'm doing Andrew's podcast. I'm so excited. Right. No.
I
can help you, or you take a tidbit away, or you say to yourself, God, if he can drive a Ferrari, I should have 10. That's what I want you to feel after I leave.
Well, how about this? Our guests usually leave the show. I usually walk off camera, but I don't need to because you're not here.
Right.
And you leave us with a little hint of your wisdom. It's usually a word or a phrase that you say directly into camera, and you just end the episode that way. Tell us your little Brad's word of wisdom if you have something like that.
Stay grateful. Stay grateful.
That's awesome.
That's it.
Yeah. Brad.
And remember, Andy.
Yeah.
Can I call you Andy?
No.
No matter how it goes, we're doing what we love, and not many people can do that.
That's a fact. Brad, thank you. This was awesome. I really appreciate you. No. We're not going to kiss. Not going to kiss.
Okay.
Not in this climate, Brad. Oh, you know what?
Be well.
Thank you.
For
honestly,
having me. I'm a huge
fucking
fan.
Great.
I wish you everything, man.
Thank you, brother.
In here, we pour whiskey.
You were that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey. $75 for the horse.
Gingers, oh hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.